We are on. Shalom to everybody. We're continuing in Rav Kook's commentary on the Agadita of Masechet Shabbat in Daf Mem Tet 49a. And the Gemara tells an interesting story. And we started this last week. Amar Rabbi Yanai, Tfilin Tzrichim Guf Naki Kelisha Bala Knafayim. That we have to keep a clean body. We spoke about that last time. When we have our tefillin on, like Elisha, the master of the wings. So says the Gemara, what does it mean to keep a clean body? We spoke about that last time. Ve'amai kari le'bal knafayim. Why is Elisha called the master of the wings? Shepam achat gazra malchut romi harasha'a gazera al Yisrael. The evil Roman Empire made a terrible decree against Israel. Shekola miniach tfilin yinakru et mocho. That whoever puts on tfilin, they will make a hole in his head. In other words, in the place where they have tfilin, I guess they wanted to deter, the Jewish people. They wanted us to assimilate, so they put a very stiff and gruesome and sadistic penalty for anybody who puts tefillin on. I'll just mention parenthetically that we're talking about the time of the rebellion of Bar Kochva, which was Rabbi Akiva's yeshiva, and we know from the Gemara in several places that Rabbi Akiva used to wear tefillin all day. Just like his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Eliezer, and his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and also Rabbi Akiva's students, who rebelled against the Romans, they used to wear tefillin all day. And according to one theory, Rabbi Yoel ben Nun writes an article on this, that the Romans used to identify the rebels by the fact that they wore tefillin. And that's what the Gemara says, that the tefillin shel rosh, the tefillin that we put on our head, about that, the Pasuk says, V'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz, that all the nations of the world will see, ki shem Hashem nikra alecha, that the name of God is on us, v'yiru mimecha, and they'll be scared. And,
Rav Shvat, you're muted.
Okay, so let me unmute myself. Thank you. Okay, do you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
No, it's my fault. I want to help you by muting everyone, and then you get muted too.
Right. Okay. Okay. So the rebels against the Romans were identified by the fact they used to walk around all day with tefillin. Like their teacher, Rabbi Akiva, used to. So that's one of the historic explanations why the Romans, Davka, had it in for tefillin. And that way, they'll know that anybody who really dares to walk around with tefillin, he is in the rebellion. Anyway, so they outlawed wearing tefillin. Vaya Elisha menicham v'yotzei lashuk. And Elisha, this master of the wings, he dared wear tefillin in public. Ra'u kazdor echad ratz mi panav v'ratz acharav. A Roman soldier saw Elisha with his tefillin, and he started chasing after him. V'chevan shigia etzlo, when the Roman soldier caught up to him, natlan mi rosho v'achzan biyado. Elisha took off his tefillin and held them in his hand. Amarlo, maza biyadcha? The Roman said, what are you holding? Amarlo, kanfeyona. I am holding the wings of a pigeon. Pashat et yado, v'nimtzu'u kanfeyona. He opened up his hands and in fact showed the Romans that he was holding a pigeon. Lefichach korin oto Elisha bal knafayim. And that's why he is called Elisha, the master of the wings. By the way, the men here probably are familiar with, the Mishnah Berurah says that when we fold our tefillin, we should fold them in two wings. And it's in memory of this Gemara. Umayshna kanfei yonam isharofot. So now the Gemara goes on and says, what is the chidush? Why does it say that that the tefillin are likened to wings of a pigeon? Why is it, why wings of a pigeon, not wings of a chicken? Answers the Gemara, Mishum de'imtil Knesset Yisrael yona. Because Knesset Yisrael is likened to a pigeon. Shnei Amar Kanfei Yonah Nechfa B'Kesev Gomer Pasuk in Tehilim says that when Am Yisrael goes out to war, sort of connected with the Gemara here, God will protect us, and when we return, we will have so much booty, we will have like silver-coated wings and gold. Anyway, so we see in this pasuk that Am Yisrael is likened to a pigeon. Mayonak nafea miginot alea. Just like a pigeon, his wings or her wings defend her. Af Yisrael mitzvot miginot alehen. So too, the people of Israel, our mitzvot, protect us. And now you begin to see the connection, why the tefillin are likened to the wings, and most even more particular, pigeon wings. But the question is, what does it mean that the mitzvot protect us? We know a lot of religious Jews who put on tefillin and did many mitzvot, and nevertheless they were persecuted and even murdered by the Gentiles, right? There are so many cases in Jewish history. So that's question number one. What does it mean that the mitzvot protect us? And another question that Rav Kook is going to deal with, what is the connection between the wings and the Roman who's chasing after Elisha? And another question, what is the symbolism of the wings? Why do we call him Elisha, the master of the wings, not Elisha who held the pigeon or something like that? Apparently there is significance that he is the master of the wings. And maybe I'll already foreshadow a drop that Rav Kook wants to explain that the defense, the protection that Hashem gives us is the flight of the wings, that we can fly higher than any adversary, than any temporal or historical problem. We fly above the problems. And that is how the mitzvot defend us, right? You see the symbolism of the flight, of the knafayim, of the wings. And, okay, so that's just a drop of foreshadowing. Let's look at Rashi before we look in Rav Kook. Rashi says, Knafea miginot alea, the wings of a pigeon protector, min hatzina, from the cold. Interesting. Not only that, umikol of the Adam haba'aleha, and any person or any bird that tries to attack a pigeon, he nilchemet umaka berosh gafeha. The pigeon defends herself with her wings. Masha enken besharofot. And this is different from other birds. Okay? So, if so, we have to understand the symbolism. Let's see Rav Kook. Hagana shel hakiyum hamamashi, we're in source number 3. The defense of our physical existence, in other words, the physical defense of the Jewish people, b'kishur klaluta uma v'akarat matziyuta v'yitrona, regarding the general nation of Israel and our recognition of our essence and our job and our role, mimalotin hamitzvot shetu'udatan gvoha v'rama. Rav Kook already starts out with the idea of rising high. The mitzvot help us fly high to a spiritual heights. Again, you see already he's alluding to the knafaim, to the wings. Kechefetz adon kol olamim baruchu. As is the desire of the God of all of the worlds. Here Rav Kook is already foreshadowing where he's going, that the mitzvot when we say that the mitzvot and the Torah protects the Jewish people, it's not necessarily talking about in this world. And it's not necessarily talking about physically or militarily, where sometimes, as we see, the Romans are stronger than we are. But the God of all of the worlds, he gives us the tefillin, which puts us on a higher level than the other people. Al ken, gam kishamatzavim ashvelim kulam, hamiyusadim al zchiyot achomriyot shel sveyat achayim hamigushamim, even when life is lowly, and our lowly physical life is down, again, like when the Romans are above us, hem nilchatzim harbe, most people are very pressured. באופן שכל אומה ולשון כשבא למצב כזה, היא עוברת תקוותה ומטרתה. הרי every nation, when they see that they are being defeated by a stronger enemy, they lose their hope. And in fact, just about every nation, even the strongest of nations, who spent their time at the center of the stage of history, it was just a matter of time before some stronger nation moved them aside. So, accordingly, if most nations lose hope as soon as they're defeated, Am Yisrael, how are we different? What makes us eternal? How can we rise above even the strongest adversary? HaMitzvot hen menasot et Knesset Yisrael. Here again, Rav Kook stresses, the mitzvot help Knesset Yisrael, the people of Israel, fly. Limatzav machzavtam haromim, to fly back, to return to the source, to our high lofty source, that is, with God. Haomed b'makom she'en yad shum tzar v'oyev magat l'sham. The Torah and the mitzvot help us fly to that higher level that no hand and no enemy can touch us. Al ken hem mitmalim oz v'chayim mite'alat ha-brecha el-yona shel yesod ha-mitzvot v'tachlitan. Therefore, when a person is spiritually strong and flying spiritually, he has that strength and he has life when he sips from the thin ta'alat ha-brecha, the thin pool of water. Right, you know, in the olden days, they used to have amatamayim, where the water that was transported from one place to the other, you see this in all the archaeological digs, it was a relatively thin, it was called amatamayim, and ama is less than half a meter. But when you're talking about water, even a sip of water, from a small source of water, can revive. And here Rav Kook is saying, the Torah, as we know, is likened to water. As the Pasuk says, Hoy kol tzame lechu lamayim. Torah is like water. And when we drink water from the source, when we drink Torah from the source, that gives us life, even at a time when we are weak and the Romans are stronger. V'chayim mita'alat ha-brecha el-yona shel yesod ha-mitzvah v'tachlitan. When we taste the basis of the mitzvot and the end goal of the mitzvot, v'hem chayim v'kayamim, and these are eternal. This is eternal life. Mit'odedim u'mitchazkim b'tzur yisham. So we are encouraged and we strengthen ourselves with the God of our salvation, Malkenu. He is the real king. God is always stronger than the king of the Romans, who says you're not allowed to put on tefillin. And that's why we put on tefillin, even at the risk of death. Because if I have to choose between listening to the king of the world or the temporary king who's gone tomorrow, and Am Yisrael is going to trump any nation, because we're the eternal people, so, of course, we should listen to the eternal king, Malkenu Kadosh Yaakov Baruch Hu. It's interesting, Rav Kook calls God, in this context, our king that we explained, Kadosh Yaakov, the holiness, in other words, the spiritual uplifter of Yaakov. Yaakov is the name of Jacob, the name of Israel, when we are in the exile. If you remember, after the angel, and even after God, changes Yaakov's name from Yaakov to Yisrael, because he says, because you, Yaakov, you wrestled with angels, you wrestled with men, and you defeated them. In other words, Yisrael literally means the strong, and that is the national name of Israel. On the other hand, Yaakov goes back to be called Yaakov afterwards, even in the same Parshot, in Sefer Bereishit. And it's interesting, the Gemara asks, Avraham, as soon as his name is changed from Avram to Avraham, the Torah never goes back to calling him by his old name. By Yaakov, it goes back to referring to him by his former name. And that happens a lot of times. And I'll just give you, it's not our major topic, but I'll give you the rule of thumb, that when Yaakov is acting like the Galut Jew, like a Jew who's scared to fight with Esav, who's scared to fight with the people of Shechem, Yaakov is still called Yaakov, which literally means the heel, because Esav is stepping upon him. On the other hand, when Yaakov is a strong and proud nation, and when he stands up for the rights of Israel, or when he is called the father of the Jewish nation, even in the book of Bereishit, that is when he's called Yisrael. Okay, so Yaakov, Yisrael, is not always acting like Yisrael, even after God changes his name, and that's why he's called Yaakov, and that's why Rav Kook calls Yaakov by that name here. Now, Rav Kook elaborates on the point that he's making here even more in Ayah. Let's jump to source number 4. On Masechet Brachot, chapter 5, paragraph 15, on Masechet Brachot 31a, where the Gemara deals exactly with our topic. What does it mean the Torah protects the Jewish people? It doesn't always protect the Jewish people. Like we said, sometimes the Romans are stronger, even if we're doing the mitzvot. So the Gemara reads as follows. Amarli Rabbanan l'Rav Hamnuna zuti. The rabbi said to Rav Hamnunan, Lishri lan mar, sing us something. If I remember correctly, it was at a wedding. And what does this rabbi sing at a happy occasion? Amarli vailan dematnan, vailan dematnan. Woe for us that we are going to die. Oh no, we are about to die. Now, it doesn't sound like such a happy wedding song. I don't know what the bride looked like or what kind of couple they're singing this sad song, but that's one of the things that the Gemara is going to talk about. Why is Rav Hamnuna singing, and why does it say he's singing? You know, if you want to worry about death, even on a happy occasion, so don't call it a song. Why is he singing, "Oi, we're going to die, oi, we're going to die"? And then the people said, okay, you said you're part of the song. Va'anan manana batrach. And what should we answer after you? We know that in the olden days, songs used to have like a reader, and the congregation used to chant afterwards, usually some kind of chorus. Like, Hodu Lashem Kitov, everybody answers Kilo Olam Chasdo. Yomar Na Yisrael, Kilo Olam Chasdo. Everything is Kilo Olam Chasdo. God's kindness is forever. God's kindness is forever. Lahavdil, by the way, anybody who's ever sees an Arab demonstration on the news, or I remember this from Miluim, in the Israeli army, when the Arabs want to protest, they have like one chanter who leads the chant, and everybody follows after him, just like in the old Semitic tradition. Anyway, so Rav Hamnuna sings, "Oi, we're going to die, oi, we're going to die." And so the people asked him, okay, so how should we chant, answer you? What's our chorus? Amarle, Hai Torah v'hai mitzvah dimagna alan. Oh, the Torah, oh, the mitzvot, that will protect us. Okay, and the question is, what does it mean the Torah is going to protect us even from death? Rav Kook explains, Yishnei ofanim l'sameach et ha'adam. There are two ways of making a person happy. And this is very important. All of us, as Jay mentioned before, all of us have friends who died, And Shiva, making a Shiva call, is part of life. So when you have a friend who's down in the dumps and you want to comfort him, and it doesn't have to be about death, it could be about anything. He got fired from his job, he's having financial problems, he's having marital problems, whatever it is. Rav Kook says there are two ways to make a person happy and comfort them. The first way, ha'ofen ha'echad, hu lishakeach mimenu et amalo, ulasiach da'at mikol ha'dvarim ha'matzivim. One way is to distract the person from his tzaras. It could be by telling him a joke. It could be by talking about the weather. It could be about helping him rearrange the furniture. Sometimes a person wants to be distracted from his tzaras, and that is one way of making your friend happy. Omnam, simcha zu eina shlema umatmedet. Rav Kook says the obvious problem with this approach is that if we try distracting our friend from his troubles, as soon as we leave, the troubles are going to come back, and we haven't really solved the problem, and we haven't dealt with the root of the problem. And we really haven't made him happy. Maybe we've distracted him for a couple of minutes, but, you know, it doesn't really, that's not the real way of helping him. Ki alu hadvarim she'adam mitatzev avuram hem kayamim v'nimtzeim u'ma'arbevim et simchato. Because you haven't, if you just distract him, the root of his troubles are still there. And not only that, they are dampering. They are, even if you can make him happy and tell him a joke or tickle him or whatever it is, he still has these tzaros. Alken, paragraph bet. Therefore, haderech hamuvchar hu haderech hasheni. If you have a friend, a child, a spouse, anybody who's upset, the best way is the second way to make him happy. How's that? That a person think of the things that really get us upset and remember priorities. What's really more important? And Rav Kook continues, Ein bahem derech otsev be'emet. Even the things that bother us the most, they really should not make us sad. Everything that God does is for the best. Even death, you can't get any worse than death, right? That's the end. Even death ain't no ra. It's not bad. Death is not something that we should be sad about. And how much more so, lighter and easier challenges, but even death. Hooray, death is something that is not really death. We believe in the world to come. We believe in the revival of the dead. There are several worlds after our worlds. And if so, a person should try lashlim tachlita chayim karaoi. If you concentrate on the goals of life, what really is important in life, that is how we can overcome sadness. I can't not remember here of Hanan Porat, one of my heroes, one of the greatest people that I ever met. He was the leader of Gush Emunim. Super learned, super idealistic, super Zionist. He was a paratrooper in the freeing of Yerushalayim in the Six-Day War, and he, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, his Rebbe, saw in Rav Hanan Porat the new type of the Talmid Chacham of Eretz Yisrael. And Hanan Porat used to walk around in jeans with a flannel shirt and sandals, and by looking at him, you could not tell that he was a very big Torah scholar. And that is one of the things that Rav Tzvi Yehuda liked about him. He settled the land of Israel. He founded the kibbutz Kfar Etzion. He refounded it. You know, the Gush Etzion area, almost all the men were massacred in the War of Independence in 1948. And the women and children were sent out before the massacre. And Hanan Porat and Yochanan ben Yaakov and several other people of the children of those who were massacred of that generation in Gush Etzion, they, after the Six-Day War, were sent by the government of Israel. Government of Israel could not tell these orphans no. And that was the first settling in Yehudah v'Shomron pretty soon after the Six-Day War, way before Hebron, which came afterwards. Anyway, Rav Hanan Porat, in his last interview, was asked, aren't you afraid of death? Everybody knew he was dying of cancer, and he already didn't look that well. And Rav Hanan Porat said, God is my witness that I am not scared of death, ki hu zeh, even the slightest. And he said, I lived my life to the fullest. I did my best, and that was the name of the book, the biography that came out after he passed away. It's from this interview. He said, I can't say that I was perfect, but I can honestly say, nisiti liyot tov. I tried to be good. I tried my best to be good. And he said, accordingly, why should I be scared of death? And now, this idea that death is not the end is dafka we're going to read pretty soon, Parshat Para. And Para, we read about the red heifer. And everybody asks, why is this called a chok? A chok is a mitzvah that we can't understand. And what makes it so difficult to understand is that the person who came in contact with the dead person, and say he cannot go into the temple, or a kohen is never allowed to come in contact with a dead person, what do? You take the ashes of the red heifer, and you mix it in water from a stream, and you put it on the impure person who came in contact with death, and he becomes pure, but the person who burnt the red heifer, he becomes impure. And if so, the obvious question is, why, if the ashes of the red heifer can mitaher one who is tameh, can purify somebody who came in contact to death, how much more so, why that the person who did not come in contact with death, he should remain pure. But he, Davka, becomes impure. And the Kabbalistic, the Zohar explains that the concept is, what does the para? Para is a female cow. And the female is in charge of life, producing life. And that's the opposite of tumah, that's the opposite of death. And not only that, this para, this female cow, is red, which is the symbol of life, blood. And what happens is that you kill the red heifer, so I guess that's the end of life. And then you burn it. Wow, that's really the end of life. And then you take its ashes and you put it in that spring flowing water, which symbolizes life, and that brings the person who came in contact with death, it brings him back to life, brings him into Tahara. In other words, what's the message here? There are a lot more details, and the more details you learn, the more you see the beauty of the symbolism. Chazal are telling us that death is not death. And when a person dies to the world of the womb, and is born into this world, so too, when he dies in this world, he is born into the next world. And in Judaism, we are anti-death. We don't believe in death. We believe in life. The Torah is a Torah Chaim. It's a living Torah. And especially the women, some of you may be familiar, there's a minhag in Kabbalistic minhag that women should not go to the cemetery. And one of the reasons is because women, explains Rav Kook, are like Kohanim. They are life producers, and they should not be bogged down or depressed by death. And that's what Rav Kook is saying here. Rav Kook is saying that even take the worst possible thing. You're really upset, you're really sad. Let's take the worst possible thing, death. Well, you know what? Death really isn't the end. And death really isn't that bad. As a matter of fact, the world to come is better than this world. I remember when my grandfather passed away, and my son Netanel saw that everybody was upset and crying. And a little kid, he asked, why is everyone crying? So I explained to him, you know, tried to explain gently that Grandpa was sick and he was suffering. And now he's with Hashem and he's in Shamayim and he's in the world to come and it's much better there. And then my little boy said, so if it's so good there, why is everyone crying? To which the answer obviously is, we're crying for ourselves, that we miss Grandpa. But he really is in a better place. He's in a better world. And if so, Judaism says the real way to help a person who's upset is not to try and distract him. Sometimes that's good, temporarily. But the real way is to help him understand the priorities of life. That even sickness, even poverty, even death is not really all that bad. It's interesting, just tonight, on the website that I answer questions, Ask the Rabbi in Yeshivat Beit El, somebody asked me why the fourth bracha of Hatov Ametiv was instituted into the benching. All right, benching is we thank God for the food. We thank God for Eretz Yisrael. We thank God for the Torah. We thank God for Yerushalayim. Why did the rabbis add this fourth bracha of Ha'el HaTov HaMetiv LaKol, etc., etc.? And the Gemara explains that this was instituted after the squashing of the Bar Kokhba rebellion and Beitar fell, and there were tens of thousands of people who were murdered. And there was a miracle that their bodies, the Romans didn't let us bury the bodies. They wanted to drive home the point that you shouldn't start up with the Romans. And but the bodies didn't decay. And in the end, the next Roman emperor allowed those bodies to be buried. And you can ask, what's the big deal? The answer is, this bracha is to teach us that even when things look bleak, you could always find something good inside the bad. And we should. And the bracha tova metiv, that God is good to us, really we should be making left and right, and left and right all day. And in order to do so, the rabbis instituted it as part of Birkat HaMazon, that at least a couple times a day, when you say benching, the grace after meals, you should remember that everything is good. Yes, we thank God for bread and Eretz Yisrael and Torah and Yerushalayim, but we also thank God even for things that don't seem to us as good. And as the Gemara says, in the world to come, there will only be one bracha, Hatov HaMetiv. We won't make the bracha of Dayan HaEmet that we make today on bad news. Why? Because then we'll understand that everything is good. Continues Rav Kook, paragraph Gimel of Source 4. Al Kein Be'omram Lishri Lanmar Lehu Vailan Dematnan. When they said to Rav Hamnuna Zuti, sing for us, and he says, oi, we are going to die. What's this idea? Why is it called singing? And why in this happy occasion is he making us gloomy? Klomar, explains Rav Kook, Nitzayer tchila dvarim she'efshar litatsev avuram, v'nask first, let us think of things that get us upset. V'naskil, and we analyze and we'll understand, ki be'emet ein la'adam klal alma litatsev. Rabbi Nachman Mibraslav writes very often, we really have nothing to be upset about. Rak litchazek lalechet bederech hashleimut lasok b'torah mitzvot. Just like Rav Kook is saying in our passage in Enaya, how does the Torah and the mitzvot defend us from our adversaries? because it helps us fly like the master of the wings, like Elisha Balak Nafaim, to fly above the temporary problems, to fly above the smallness of this world, where even the worst thing, even death itself, if you lived a life of Torah and Mitzvot, you have risen above the smaller things. Ve'azu mevi atzmoel tachlita chayim. When a person like Hanan Porat lives a life of idealism, he is connected with the goal of life, with the source of life, with God himself and his Torah. Ve'ein lo litiare min amavet. And that is a type of person why a truly believing person is not scared of death. Kishishlim chuko. When his time comes, if he did everything that he could, and he lived a life of fullness, one day after the next day, he did a lot of chesed, and he helped a lot of people, and he was a good family person, etc., etc. So, that enables us to rise above the troubles. V'cheivan she'atorah v'amitzvah meginim gam al mara mavet. And because the Torah and the mitzvot even protect us, even from the most bitter thing, death, kal v'chomer she'meginim al yeter advarim she'adam mitatzei v'avuram she'kulam im p'chutim bo'otzev min amara mavet. Right, compared to the bitterness of death, all other troubles, even the Romans, even their decrees, there's no comparison. Alkein b'zeh yistaklut saru kol darkei ha'otzev. When we learn to understand and see things this way, it pushes away all sadness. Ve'adam mitorer b'simcha amitit u'shleima v'ubatuach mikol rayonot alulot l'arbev et simchato. And this person is sure. He has bitachon, he has faith in God, that God will protect him, God will help him rise above everything in the end. The Jewish people always outlast all of our adversaries. And here you see what Rav Kook, how is Rav Kook explaining that the Torah protects, that the mitzvot protect us, that it doesn't bother us, because we can put them in the right proportion, in the right priorities. Like Elisha Balak Nafaim, that's why he's called the Master of the Wings. Not just because he had the story of the wings, but because he flew to that higher level. In other words, the flight is what protects us. Just like the wings of the Yonah, the wings of the pigeon is what protects her, so too the flight, rising above all of our adversaries, connecting with that eternal world and the eternal God, that is how to rise above sadness. And that is what it means when the Torah and the mitzvot protect us. Again, I strongly suggest, if you understand Hebrew, go into that. You'll find it on YouTube. Harayon Acharon, the last interview of Rav Hanan Porat. It's very, very inspiring. And when you compare whatever tzaras you may have, chas v'shalom, to a man who knows that he's facing death, and in fact, not too long afterwards, he passed away, he puts things in proportion. And that's why when Rav Hamnuna sang, "Oi, we're going to die," or "Oi, we're going to die," what did he tell the people to answer him afterwards? Alkein anu alat sa'at otzev, regarding that suggestion of being sad. Be sad, we're going to die. He said, answer, Hai Torah v'hai mitzvah d'magdan alan. Great is the Torah, great is the mitzvot that protect us, that help us rise above all tzaros. V'ra'ui liyot ach sameach. Right? What is it say that Or zaru l'tzadik l'yishrei lev simcha? And how can we be, what is ach sameach? Just happy? How can a person just be happy? Rav Kook is explaining, when a person has that faith and is connected with spirituality and with the goal of, with the source of life, God and his Torah, then he really can rise above anything, even death. Ach sameach, just be happy. V'chedvat Hashem yiyem ma'oz. And the happiness to be with God, again, the source, just like when you go to the source of water, it's life. And when a dead person or a person comes in contact with Tumah, connects with the source of water, Even the Parah Aduma, again, it shows us that death is not the end. When you connect with God and eternity, that is the source of strength. Li-re'ah v'choshvei shmo. For those who know God's name, that is the Torah and the mitzvot. To summarize, Rav Kook answered the question, what is the connection between the tefillin and the master of the wings and the story of the Romans, right? That we fly above even the Romans, even when they're on top. We explained why Elisha is called the master of the wings, not the master of tefillin. And we also understand, now what does it mean when Chazal tell us that the Torah protects? Because the way the Torah protects is by helping us rise higher than any temporal problems.